We're going to look at Matthew's this morning, chapter 25. And did you know that this book is alive? Did you happen to know that it's not contained by, most books, you have a beginning and an end, but nothing changes in between. Not that God's word changes, but his word changes you. And he can use any part of the scripture to bring about truth that you need to hear, and that's what's going on in your life. It's alive. Cherish it. Every time you pick it up, you need to cherish the word of God, is that it is dissecting you. It is shining into the darkness of our lives so that light might shine out of our lives. Okay? So remember, he teaches us through his word some amazing things. And a lot of people read the Bible as just it was another book. But this book is alive. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. It says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne." So again, he's coming back. He's coming back. And the angels are coming with him. And he's going to have a kingdom on this earth for a while before God destroys this earth. And when he comes back, he's going to do some amazing things. And one of the things he's going to do is be judge. Okay? And we look at these next passage of scriptures, probably some of the not interpreted correctly passages of scripture. A lot of people want to create a God that you work for instead of the God that works through us. And they use these passages of scriptures to kind of validate who they are. I don't have to prove who I am to you, and I don't have to prove who I am to God. That's the burden that comes off of us when we become children of God, is that when his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're his child, then that effort that everyone's trying to do to show others that they're godly, and more than not, to show themselves that they're godly, to give them some type of reassurance that when they die and stand before God, he's going to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," when it has nothing to do with us working for God. If God does not work in us, if we are not his workmanship for his good pleasure, then it's all in vain. It says, "All the nations will be gathered before him." So there's going to be no one that's not going to be accountable when he comes back. "And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." Okay? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? I guess you got to ask yourself that this morning. Are you a sheep or are you a goat? You know, because the destiny of goats is not pleasant, okay? It's only the destiny of the sheep that will reap the eternal promises of God. Here's what's going to happen. He's going to put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. So what he's saying is the world, which is the goats, can't be a part of God's redemption plan, okay? It's a fact that you either are or you aren't. There's no in-between, okay? I mean, he's not putting a camel in between here. He's not putting another animal in between here and say, well, you know, there's three groups. No, there's basically two groups. You're either a goat or you're a sheep, okay? And goat represents the world. They have rejected Christ, and they have rejected his teachings. They've not repented of their sins. They've not become children of God. You see, Jesus is the great shepherd. He shepherds the flock. And the only way to get into the flock is through him, through the work that he did on the cross, that God had performed through him so that we become new creatures, okay? So it's a new birth that allows you to be a sheep. You're born a goat. It's what it is. You just don't have a choice. You know, a dog is a dog and is born a dog because he's a dog. His mom was a dog. His dad was a dog. Therefore, he's a dog. Your mom's a sinner. Your dad's a sinner. Therefore, you're born a sinner. You're born with that nature that is contrary to God in every form and fashion and way. So you are born a goat. Whether you like it or not, you're a goat, okay? Only God can make you a sheep, okay? And it's through the work, through Christ. So he's going to separate us out. When he comes back, and if you happen to be still here, he's going to separate you. And if you're a goat, you go over here. If you're a sheep, you go over here, okay? And he'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king, King Jesus, will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Okay? So from the foundation of the world, God prepared a place for those that would receive him and become his children. And he's also prepared a place for those that reject him. So again, we playing out what was already in God's mind physically. It's all a spiritual plan because of the fall of man. And he's bringing us back spiritually. There's no benefit for the blessings of God to be physical, because they have no eternal consequences. Okay? And of course, when you hear people say, "Oh, God has blessed me with a good family, God has blessed me with a good job, God has blessed me," those blessings are worthless. When he comes back and sits on his throne, those blessings have no merit eternally. See, the true blessing of God is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that he gives us. That's the gift that he promises that results in eternal life. It results in us becoming a sheep. And that's the true blessing of God. Now, you may not get all of those nice things, but yet understand as a child of God, the true blessing is the fact that you have been saved from the eternal damnation that awaits each and every one of us if we reject God's teachings and God's word. He goes, "For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." So, on the surface, this looks like, wow, we ought to go out and if somebody's hungry, feed them. If somebody's naked, clothe them. If somebody's thirsty, give them something to drink. If somebody's sick, go visit them. If they're in prison, you know, help them out. And this can't be further from the biblical truth. Okay? Nothing wrong with good deeds. But this is not talking about good deeds. And we're going to back this up later, okay, with Scripture, okay? This is about a spiritual thirsting, a spiritual hunger, a spiritual nakedness, a spiritual entrapment through the sin of our lives. And these people that he's allowing, these sheep, have a purpose in life. We're to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be the ambassador for Christ. We have this great treasure in his earthen vessel, and it wasn't for our benefit, but it's for the benefit of others, those that are thirsty for the word of God, those that are hungry for righteousness, those that are naked. Well, you know what? And again, it's not a naked sermon again, but again, it's about when you're naked, you're bare. You everything is laid out there for everybody to see. There's nothing hidden, okay? And the Bible talks about being clothed with righteousness. The righteousness of God is what it talks about. So we're going to look into this a little bit, because I think this is one of the most misunderstood passages of Scripture, in the fact that we look at this as a physical going out and doing good for everybody. And then if you do a lot of good, God's going to consider you a sheep and put you over here. And if you don't do those things, then God's going to put you over there. And then again, what happens, it's based upon what we're doing instead of what God has done. When you look at this passage of Scripture, not from a spiritual standpoint, then it's based on human works. Okay? He's separating us out because we did all those things. No, it's talking about these people that he puts in our way. Okay? That are thirsty for the Word of God. That are hungering for the Word of God. Okay? And they're out there bare. They have nothing that they bring to this table. They're enslaved in prison by the chains of sin in our life. They're sick. What did Jesus say? "I am the great physician. I come to heal the sick." So So you can see, if you use other passages of Scripture, you'll begin to see the spiritual part of this verse and not look at the religious part of this verse where it says, go out and go do something good. See, the goodness should come from within, because what you do good does not have anything to affect the internal, okay, what's inside of us. So I can do all the good works in the world but not be good in God's eyes, okay? But if I'm good, then that should eventually be seen by others. But anything that I do good should have an eternal potential of being able to reach these people with the true gospel of Christ. And that's the love that God has for us, that accepts us where we are at, but loves us enough not to keep us where we're at. Okay, this is what he's talking about. These people, these sheep, went out and saw the needs, the spiritual needs of the people, and they went and took those spiritual needs to the people, and that's what he's looking at here. Okay, and we'll back that up in Scripture. And they go say, and when did we see you as a stranger? I mean, you take it. What are you talking about? We didn't see you. When we see you as a stranger, invite you in, or naked, or clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer to them, I truly say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me. Okay? So, me building somebody a house and cutting the grass and going on a mission trip and all that kind of stuff doesn't do anybody any good if I don't have the truth of God to be ready to share with them. Folks, whether you like it or not, people are lost. We're born goats. And God has entrusted you with the answers, with the hope that these people need. When God is bringing pestilence on their lives and sickness on their lives and trouble in their lives to bring them to the end of themselves, and you do not, when you have the opportunity, and when you do not go with the asking God to go before you with the spiritual purpose of sharing and giving them Scripture and handing them the Word of God and telling them, hey, you know, sit down with God's Word. Let me share what he's done in my life first, and how he has opened my eyes through the troubles and tribulations of this world and brought me to the end of myself. See, we forget why Jesus came. Okay? We forget why he came. It's so that we deal with our sin, and so that we repent from that sin, so that we become the righteousness of God, so that we can help others in the same state that we're in. See, this group of folks, it may be through some physical effort, but they always took the gospel of Christ and the Jesus. It's not just say a prayer, folks. This is not about saying a prayer and you going to heaven. This is about being transformed from a goat to a sheep. And that's a miraculous transformation that only God can do in your life, and no good work will do it. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how much money you give. I don't care how much you sacrifice. I don't care if you've given your life to Christ, which is impossible to do because you have no life to give to Christ. It's he that gives you life. Religion has got this all turned around. You have been taught since you were just a little child in vacation Bible school. You've been taught what is wrong. Religion has taught you and led you down the wrong path, and now we've got a bunch of goats out here thinking that they're sheep. Okay? He's going to separate you. If you don't get this right, he's going to separate you, because when he comes back, You can't become a sheep if you're a goat. When he tells you to get over there, get away from my people, get away from my brothers, get away from my children, you can't say, oh, wait a minute, what did we miss? Well, where you missed it at is you begin to listen to man, and you begin to listen to all the denominations that are out there instead of listening to the Word of God. See, they didn't even, these people weren't even keeping account of all their efforts and things. They were just as they went. The church was to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then allow, we're to make disciples. We talked about this last Sunday. Your purpose is to make disciples, teaching them to do all that God commands. Not convert people. We have no power. We have no right. Only the Holy Spirit has a responsibility to convict someone of their sin. But you have the responsibility to take that to them and say, hey, look, it's not about what we do. It's about who we are. Who are you? Well, I go to church. Well, stop going to church. Why don't you become the church? I tell you what, when you become the church, you come in here and worship, it takes on a whole other meaning than just going to church. And I think that's the problem we have, is that most people are just going to church today. And there's very few that are the church. Because when you're the church and you realize what God's done for you, you can't wait to get in here. You cannot wait to sing. Did you know that the worship is the, one of the most important things that we do when we gather to here, is that we gather to sing praise to His holy name? Do you realize that's what He's commanded and that's what He wants? We're not just getting here singing a bunch of songs. We have to stop what's going on in this world where people just gather on a Sunday morning, then pat themselves on the back that they went to church. You have to become the church. And you don't get to decide when you're the church. I don't know what God's going to have to do in your life to bring this reality to you, to where that you come in here with a thankful, gracious heart that makes you sing from the top of your lungs for what He did for you. We can't no longer stay asleep about this. He's coming back and He's going to separate the sheep from the goats. Who told you were a sheep? Huh? Some pastor told you when you said a prayer that you became a sheep? You ever try to get wool off of a goat? You know why you can't get a wool off of you can't you know why you can't get wool off of a goat? Because they're not a sheep. I mean, we've got to put this in perspective that we can understand this, is the fact that if we don't become a sheep, He's going to separate us. And only God can make you a sheep. Nothing you can do, no effort, no nothing you can do to make you a sheep. This wasn't based upon, they were hungry and thirsty, they were sick, they were enslaved, they were naked, and they were clothed by God in His righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. And then they go out and they begin to do the same to others. Truly, as the king said to them, truly I say to you, to the extent you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me nothing. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you didn't invite me in. I was naked, you didn't clothe me. I was sick in prison, and you didn't visit me. And they will answer back the same way, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty or stranger, naked, sick, or in prison, and didn't take care of you? What do you mean? We would have If we knew it was you, we would have taken care of you. See, it's all stemming from the fact that, oh, I'm going to go do some works for Jesus. I'm going to do some works for God because he's watching. Okay? They had nothing internal that would allow them to reach out to others and bring the gospel of Christ in their lives. Because again, us helping people physically doesn't do them any good eternally. And again, I'm not against good works. We ought to be helping one another. But when it comes time to separate the sheep from the goats, if they don't become sheep and they die and go to hell in the place where God has reserved for the devil and his servants, then we have let these people down. You can't make them sheep. But you can give them the Word of God and experience in your lives and allow God to make them sheep. Then he'll answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you didn't do it to me." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. So let's look into this a little deeper, okay? Let's back all this up by Scripture, because that's what we're supposed to do, right? So now let's look at Revelations 19:8. Well, I'm going to do 7 and 8. It says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready." You know who the bride of Christ is? It's the church. Okay? And they made herself ready. How they make herself ready? Because once he clothes them with righteousness, then they took that righteousness and they used that righteousness to live their life according to the commandments of God, to spread who God was and who Jesus was. "It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen." Okay? Bright, clean. For the fine linen, then he defines what fine linen is. Fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Okay, not the physical acts of the saints, but it was the righteous acts of the saints. So if Christ died on a cross so that we could become the righteousness of God, so then we become a child of God. Now we have been clothed with that fine linen. We've been clothed with the righteousness of God, and so our acts should be based upon the righteousness of God and not what we think is good. Some people need to come to the end of themselves before they can become a sheep. See, we go out and help people, enable people to remain in their sin and condone their sin and not using the righteous acts of the saints to affect their lives, then we've not done what we've been called to do. So look at Isaiah, because this is amazing, because that naked person that it talked about, okay, it's talking about clothing us with that nakedness where we're out there bare, our sins are laid bare, because the light that Jesus shines in our life removes all the barriers and all the hidden sins of our life. So it's not hidden to God. It's laid out there naked and bare for all to see, for God to see. Matter of fact, he even tells us that if we continue in our sin, he will expose it by the light. Let's look at Isaiah 61, 10 and 11. It says, "I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God. For he hath clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with the robe of righteousness." So see, this nakedness that he talks about is not physical nakedness. It's spiritual nakedness. And we are to be clothed with that righteousness of God, with the purity that He puts forth in our lives, is how we're supposed to walk about, is clothed in His righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, as a bride adorns herself with jewels, for as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as the garden causes the things sown in it to spring up, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. So what He's going to do? He's going to bring all nations together. You know what it said? He'd bring all nations together and begin to separate them. Well, the righteousness will spring forth, and then He will cast out judgment. Those of you that have gone out and taken the correct message to those that are around you. Okay? It's as you go, we do this. As a child of God, if your life is not focused and began to stem into the point of helping folks with the troubles of this life and giving them the true hope of the gospel, and then turn them over to God and praying for them and being there to help them physically, but the physical help should have a spiritual reason. Just to pat ourselves on the back to help somebody physically is not going to do them any good, as I've already said. Let's look at Matthew 5:6. So this is where Jesus has His sermon, and He begins to teach them about salvation. He says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." How are they to be satisfied? If we got people that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, how are they going to be satisfied? It's by those sheep that go out and feed these hungry sheep, these hungry people that are wanting to become the righteousness of God, and feeding them on the righteousness of God. That's why He wrote that. That's why He wrote this other, that, hey, this is what you've done. But I didn't know it was you, Christ. No, you did it to one of the brothers. You showed that they were hungry, and you gave them the spiritual food that they need to come to the point of salvation where God could save them. You gave them the true word of God. You gave them the truth of God. You gave them the experience in your life. If all I got to do is say a prayer and I'm in, oh boy, boy, that's good. Okay, you call me a sinner, God? Sure, I'll buy it. I'm a sinner. I'll say it. You know, you pressure me enough, I got it. I'm a sinner. Okay? I get the baptized and, hey, I'm in. Folks, that doesn't work. Don't take the miracle out of salvation in the lives of people. Religion doesn't give you hope. Religion sets you back. Religion puts you on the false trail, because it's all based about on what you're doing. That's why people are so good and righteous. It's not because they're good and righteous on the inside, but they think by doing good and righteous they're going to please God, and you can't please God in the flesh. For they shall be satisfied. And it's you and I that have to take the food to them, the water to them, so that they can be satisfied. Let's look at John 6, 32 through 35. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is what comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." The problem is people are hungering and thirsting for this righteousness, and they don't even know it. You're born a goat, you don't even know it. Do you think a goat, when he's born, desires to be anything else but a goat? So when we're born that goat, and it's only through the Word of God that we realize that we're not a sheep. And we realize that it's only the sheep that God loves. It's only the sheep that God is going to preserve. And now I'm this goat. I've got a problem. I was born a goat. How can I become a sheep? Somebody's got to come along and tell me how to become a sheep. God, please send somebody. And through the discipleship, I find that I'm naked. I find that this hunger that I have can't be satisfied by anything in this world. That this thirst cannot be quenched. And this sickness I have leads to eternal damnation. And the prison, the chains that have me, allow me to do nothing more than to continue to be that goat. Jesus goes on to say that they said to him, Lord, man, give us this bread. I want that bread. And Jesus said to them, I'm that bread. I'm the bread of life. You're going to take of me and eat my flesh. You're going to drink my blood, and you'll have life, and you'll be satisfied. Who comes to me will no longer hunger as the world hungers. And goes after all the fleshly lusts and somehow the riches of this world and the fame and accomplishments that we do in our sporting events and all of those things. And mean nothing. It's not what satisfies the true hungering of humanity. Because God left a void in our lives way back when Adam and Eve sinned against God. There's a void that's left in our life that only God can fill. But yet religion comes in and fills us with a false bill of goods and creates a God for us that doesn't exist. And then we stand before him. He says, depart from me. I never knew you. When we die before he comes. And then in when he comes, depart from me. I don't know. You're a goat. Do you see the separation? Whether you die before he comes back or you're here when he comes back, there's a separation that Christ brings about and separates those that are not his. But I said to you, you've seen me, and yet you did not believe. Wow. Finish up real quick. Revelations 7, 16 and 17. Here's the neat thing. He put this at the end of the book. First of all, he also tells us that those that hunger and thirst can come without cost. Any television preacher or any evangelist or any song group that comes in and they got to have money for what they're proclaiming, they're not of God. He says, you come without cost. You hunger and thirst will feed you, will clothe you, will free you without cost. They will hunger no longer, nor thirst anymore, nor will the sun be down on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear. Are you a goat? Are you a goat becoming a sheep? Or are you a sheep? And you don't get this assignment.